Let us pray together. God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us now, that in opening up your word for us today, your word might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans chapter 12, and we're just reading verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. We're sort of jumping in here into Romans chapter 12. But in Romans chapter 12, the letter that Paul is writing takes this sort of turn. It takes this sort of change in his tone and what he is addressing. In this letter, Paul goes on explaining and explaining and explaining for what are 11 chapters in our Bibles. But he goes on explaining his understanding of what the gospel is. But here, right at the beginning of chapter 12, he has this therefore moment. And when we see a therefore in all of Paul's letters, and it happens every single time, when we see the therefore, we know that what comes after the therefore is only possible when we know what comes before. And so there are lots of passages, lots of words in Romans, but we will just highlight a few of them now so we see what came before our therefore as we move forward. I'm going to jump around just a bit. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's after knowing all these little gems and so much more, but these gems especially, that we hear the word therefore. Because of these things, therefore, Paul says, therefore live like this in faith with God's full mercy in view. Live like this. A life of faith looks like this. He says, offer your life as a sacrifice to God. And in doing so, we are worshiping God with our very lives. Move in the world differently from those around you. Transform your minds. Renew them, always paying attention to what God is up to. And then we will know God's will and know that it is good. But sometimes when we translate Paul's writings, when we hear Paul's words, they sound so big, so grandiose, so heady, so perfect that we are stymied by their sort of otherness into the noise of our lives. Which is why sometimes it's good to hear the same passages translated just a bit differently, less formally, to bring them down to earth for us. Listen to the way that Eugene Peterson interpreted Paul's words in his Bible translation, The Message. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, with God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. A little more reachable, isn't it? This summer, we've been doing some of that same type of translation that Eugene Peterson has done. I think preachers are sometimes seen, we are sometimes seen, the same way as Paul. The way we talk about faith and the Bible almost seems too big, too impossible to be lived. So this summer, we had our Faith in Real Life series. We have heard from people all summer long about their own faith journeys, about the paths that they have taken and the way that their faith affects their living. And we have done so because we believe that hearing each other's story will bring our community closer together, and it will make us more faithful. It reminds us to look for God in our everyday lives, not just here in worship or in the church, but in our everyday, ordinary lives. People's stories remind us about what God is up to in the world and in individual lives. It has brought the words from the pulpit back down to earth, as we have heard the gospel message translated through people's lives and in their own words. The words of people trying to live faithfully, to live lives transformed by the gospel.
This Faith IRL series would have been a total flop were it not for the willingness of some of the real people who sit in these pews every week to come up here and tell their stories. As we launched the series, Joshua and I were basically asking, can I get a witness? And hoping we didn't just hear crickets. We know that each one of y'all has an incredible story of faith to tell, but we weren't at all sure we could get anybody to tell them. And plenty of you are still holding out. But we have been blessed over the last several weeks by the courageous folks who have given us glimpses of faith lived out and discovered and grown in real life. The very first week, Des Williams showed how life in a community of faith encourages him and grounds him when life brings unexpected turns like a soggy apartment. He also gave me some tips on how to get an amen from y'all. The next week, Ed Cooney told us about his lifelong involvement in the church and how Jesus stood in the room with him one night, confirming his call and sustaining him through a ministry he might never have anticipated, but that ended up blessing a whole lot of people. Ben Bowles took us on a journey not just of many miles, but of life and faith lived through times of challenge and joy, always rooted in the study of God's word and the ongoing nurture of his faith in community. In the fourth week of this series, a panel of church ladies, Caroline Johnston, Beverly McClintock, and Mary Harris, who have a combined 260 years of life experience, nothing to scoff at, reminded us of God's presence through the ups and downs of life. They inspired us to keep serving in the places and ways God calls us to at every stage of our lives. And they reassured us that praying can be as simple and as powerful as talking to God like a friend throughout our days. Don Arledge showed us that there are no coincidences by tracing the thread of God's presence throughout his life, bringing him to the present where he lives each day in such a way as to remind us that God loves us. A couple weeks ago, Barbara Van Zandt invited us into her honest and transformative journey of discovery, pointing us with delight to the God who is present not just in church buildings, but always and ever in the world all around. And last week, Jenny Christopher told us about encountering God at mile 18 of a 304-mile trek across Spain, learning to let go and trust him. She told us about singing at sunrise, blisters and Bible study, and bidding farewell to a favorite toenail. And we heard of how God gave her strength to do the impossible and in the process transformed her into someone who loves public speaking. Well, maybe not that last part exactly. Each and every one of our Faith IRL speakers has invited us, encouraged us, to see God at work in their stories, and by extension, to see God at work in our own stories. We have all, haven't we, been inspired and challenged and encouraged to live our own real lives of faith.
So this fall, we want to continue. We want to continue the practice of hearing God at work in stories, but they won't be our stories exactly. We're going to read, hear the Bible through the lives of two Bible figures that were doing the exact same thing that we are trying to do. We are people who are trying to live faithfully, to live lives transformed by the will of God. The first person, then, that we are going to be looking at this fall is Abraham. And what's so interesting about Abraham is that he is so not interesting. He is just kind of a regular guy. And we're going to see some of that. And he does nothing particularly amazing. He's just so plain, so normal. So, okay, he did have a kid at the age of 99. Well, actually, let's admit, that's not really his work. That's his wife's work. That's all about Sarah. That has very little to do with Abraham. But what he does, what God promises to do in his life, and God, the things that God does in his life are pretty amazing still. But Abraham is known not for the things that he does. Abraham is known for his faith. That is how we know him and how we talk of him. Actually, if you read his entire story, which spans from Genesis chapter 11 to Genesis chapter 25, you will see that Abraham gets much of it wrong. He actually gets as much wrong as he gets right, maybe even more wrong than right. There are admittedly parts of his story that will disturb us as modern readers. And while we do not intend just to explain those away, we are forced to hold the good, the bad, and the ugly together. We are forced to see Abraham in the context of what it means to live a life of faith in all that is good and all that he does wrong as well. And that's what makes his story so valuable. You see, it's just so human. And yet, at the end of the day, as improbable as it seems when we get into the story, Abraham becomes Father Abraham. Through Abraham and Sarah, generations later comes Jesus. We call Abraham our father as well.
The second Bible figure we're going to learn more about this fall is Jeremiah, who seems like kind of a big deal, far from ordinary, because he's a prophet, and there's a whole book of the Bible named after him. But what we'll see through Jeremiah's story and teachings is that his life was as real as it gets. You see, Jeremiah lives in a world full of uncertainty and conflict, of change and uncharted territory. He faces, as he struggles to discern his way forward, he looks for God, he questions God, he succeeds magnificently and fails miserably. Jeremiah makes friends and loses friends and mistakes enemies for friends. He finds his way and loses his way again. And throughout it, here's the good news, throughout all of that real life, Jeremiah manages to make the choices that add up to a life well lived, an ordinary life that's presented as a holy offering to God. And in so doing, he gives us hope that we can do the same, striving ourselves to live with excellence amid the everyday. Which is exactly what Paul pushes us to in that letter to the Romans, those first couple verses of chapter 12 that Josh read to us. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That verse, our recent Faith IRL speakers' stories, Abraham and Jeremiah, all have me thinking about something that I think you might also know a little bit about. Tacos. Now, I realize it's almost lunchtime, and so by even saying the word tacos, I run the risk of losing your attention as your mind wanders to thoughts of delicious food. And so let's just get that out of our system so we can all focus. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them where your favorite place to get tacos is. Go ahead. Where do you get your tacos? Go ahead and tell them. Okay, that's enough details. Enough. My favorite place to get tacos is Fuego Tortilla Grill on the I-35 access road. And the reason it's my favorite place is because they make the best tacos in San Marcos. I realize that is an arguable point, but I will be happy after worship to explain why I'm right, or better yet, you can take me to lunch there and I'll prove it to you. Fuego, you see, has a pretty creative menu with tacos that combine really varied and unique but consistently delicious ingredients. However, I can be kind of a picky eater. So the first couple of times I went to Fuego, I ordered my taco with all these caveats, like skip the sour cream, no tomatoes, hold the cream corn, please. But then I got smart enough or brave enough to trust whatever chef had compiled these taco combinations on their menu. And one day I ordered my favorite taco, the Fuego steak, as it comes. And I realized what everyone else probably already knew, that what makes a great taco is precisely all the varied ingredients and flavors mixed together in the same bite. On their own, each ingredient is nothing much. Some lettuce, diced tomatoes, grilled steak, green chilies, corn, shredded cheese. But you put them together and they become a holy offering. Well, that might be an exaggeration when it comes to tacos, but I know some of y'all are hanging with me here. You probably see where I'm going with this, to the truth that our Faith IRL speakers, that Abraham and Jeremiah all point us to, that an everyday, ordinary life with all of its real life ingredients, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, not to mention doing homework, attending meetings, driving in traffic, washing dishes, rocking babies, eating with friends, buying groceries, tying shoes, greeting neighbors, watching birds, paying bills, reading a book, making a list, sweeping the floor, singing a song, whispering a prayer, an everyday, ordinary life with all of its varied real life ingredients can add up to, can come together as an offering to the God who gives us this life in the first place. And y'all, when we live like that, God promises that he will bring out the best in every single one of us. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together, Take My Life.